Well, if you've just joined us here for this meeting, my privilege on behalf of the believers here in Addison to extend you a warm welcome to the gospel meeting. And lest I forget, if you have questions, this is probably not a group you're just going to raise your hand, but that I really would be fine with that. But it's probably not going to happen. If you have questions or want to speak to someone afterwards, just catch someone's eye where you're sitting or find me if you'd like, and we'd be delighted to address any questions you may have that we may be able to answer. I don't know most of you. My name is Bruce Conrad. I live near Denton, Texas. And the message I have for you tonight is not from Denton, Texas. It's from heaven itself. The scriptures speak about good news from a far country. And the privilege weighs upon me tonight to speak to you on behalf of God to give you good news. But the gospel message is kind of strange. I know Paul speaks of the mystery of the gospel. It would be certainly a delight if you and I could reminisce someday and you say, you know, that night in wherever we are. What? Naperville. In Naperville, I accepted Christ that night. That would be wonderful. But I really don't want to be the one when you stand before God, which you will, and He just looks at you and says, son, remember. The horror of that is beyond our thinking. Tomorrow morning, Lord willing, there'll be probably this room filled, and we'll have the privilege to remember the Lord Jesus and His death as He's asked us to do. That's a happy thing to do. The memory of the just is blessed. But it just staggers our minds to think if you should be like that rich man who woke up in a place from which he would never escape, that was so horrible, in eternal judgment. And God had to just say, son, remember. And so, with God's help, let's begin our meeting. I know we've all mostly been sitting today, so let's stand and start with hymn number 25. We'll sing this hymn and then take up some things from the scriptures. And if we have time, sing one more at the end. And that's the way we'll go, God willing. If some brother could start hymn number 25.
Oh,
We turn to John's Gospel first, chapter 3. Really was thinking to read just three passages. Before I do, this hymn we sang about life at best being very brief. I was speaking with somebody near where I was sitting and saying how you go to work when you're young and you're the youngest guy there and everybody's older and you blink a few times and you look around and you're the oldest guy there. And the older ones are kind of nodding their heads. That's the way it seems. Life is so swift. I think it's in Job. It says it's like a weaver's shuttle. Just vroom. And it's gone. And we have a quick time here, a short time here. And the opportunity, the wonderful opportunity is now, in this time, to make a decision that affects our eternity. I'm old enough when I was saved to remember reading the scriptures for the first time. And I found it so striking when I finally got up to the book of Job, which took a while, and to read all these questions that different ones in the book of Job were raised. When I was a little boy, raised in Pennsylvania, before the days when air conditioning was everywhere, and the very humid, hot summer nights, and diligent parents back then put you to bed at a certain time, no matter what was going on outside in the street or how hot it was. And after staring at the ceiling a little while, and it would get dark a number of times, I don't know how many, I'd sneak out, don't you do this. I would sneak out the window onto the roof, and I'd climb up, and there was a flat spot up there in my pajamas in this little development of little tiny brick houses. I don't know if I was 6 or 7 or 8, I think it went on a number of years. And I can remember like it were yesterday asking these questions. What am I doing here? What's the purpose of all this? And you see the stars and you say, what's this all about? Look down, who made me? What am I made for? And I found it so striking that 20 years later, and I get to the book of Job, and all those questions are there in the scriptures. Why did you bring me forth out of the womb? What is my strength that I should hope? What is my end? Can a man be profitable unto God? And then as you get a little older, and it doesn't take you to be very old before you have a sense of sin and of guilt, and you say, in a little boy's mind, the equivalent of, how can a man be just with God? How can he that is born of a woman be clean in the sight of God? Even the heavens are not pure in his sight. And so when I finally got to the book of Job, I was so fascinated to see that I wasn't the only one, that God had worked and works in so many hearts. And he oftentimes doesn't give answers, he gives questions. And whether it's in the workplace or in spiritual things, it's always so encouraging when someone asks the right questions. When you ask the right questions in spiritual things with an honest heart, God will answer every question. You'll notice the Queen of Sheba, when she went, it says that Solomon told her all of her questions. And so these are good questions. And this precious book, the Word of God, which people call the Bible, it has every answer we need and more to all of the good questions in life. You know what? I was wondering, sitting in my chair today, and somebody, I think it was Bill, mentioned when he read in the book of Acts, Paul speaking about coming amongst them and speaking or testifying the gospel of the grace of God. And that's what we have tonight, the good news of God's graciousness and goodness to you and me. But it also, he also calls it the mystery of the gospel. And it's not my purpose to take that up tonight, but there is a sense in which the gospel is the secret in plain daylight. And the brothers were praying before the meeting about this gospel-hardened land we live in. And to you and me, it probably who are believers, it probably seems like everybody's heard the gospel 1,000 times. It's not so. It's not so, I don't think. I know this deluded 22-year-old, 23-year-old, I walked right past it. When I was saved, I was just shocked. How could I have missed this? Does everybody know about this? This is a secret in hiding in plain sight. But it's not the gospel that's hidden. It's the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The veil is on our heart and in our minds. And God is able to take that away. And he did for me and so many in this room, and he will for you. So with God's help, just take up a few verses tonight. The first in John chapter 3 and verse 16. A verse that has probably been translated into every language on this earth. And there's probably a lot of languages. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, let's turn for just a sec over to Romans chapter 5, where we were today. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And then in verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We'll get to the third verse later, Lord willing. It is my great privilege to be able to tell you with all the assurance I have about anything I've ever known that God loves you. I don't have to know a thing about you. I don't have to know how good you are, how bad you are, how smart you are, how rich or how poor. It's one of the most beautiful things I've ever learned is that you have the authority from this book to be able to walk up to anybody in any country at any time, look them right in the eye. Sick person in the hospital, prisoner, Brother Dick, slide that little thing that some of them are in behind. Sir, God loves you. That's an amazing thing. The brothers were speaking today about our attitude and our emotions. And oftentimes we feel a little bit like it's a struggle to control our thoughts, to have right thoughts and a right attitude, to have right emotions and right feelings that are appropriate for the time, for the person, for the situation. God, speaking reverently, can be anything he wanted to be. He can think anything he wanted.